Blog Talk Radio. Hello and welcome. You have tuned in to Awakenings, one of the places of the converging flow, and that was Pure Energy by Beth Green. And I am your host, and as I like to also say, co-pilot Michelle Mache. And those of you that are just tuning in right now, I see some people in the chat also, let you know that Awakenings airs every Wednesday and Friday at 12 p.m. Pacific time. And also, if you'd like to call in with questions or insights, or as we're speaking with our guest who's going to be coming on in just a little bit, you're more than welcome to call in at 347-539-5122. Lot to talk about, and I did want to touch back in with some people that have been emailing and noticing that there is a lot more movement these days in improvement, people wanting to improve their living situation, their living circumstances. And I want to say lifestyle improvement, not just on the financial end. And I think that this crises, which I'm going to say crises coming from the Latin word choice, that's happening by what is going on in the material world or mundane world or mainstream world, is giving everybody a little wake-up call that sometimes in times of turmoil or where there's tumultuous changes, that can be what we say in NLP and hypnotherapy, what we call a pattern interrupt. It's like, woo, wake up. Your routine has been interrupted. So actually the first part, you know, January, February, and March, we're really going to be focusing on that, especially with the guests that we have on, is how to improve your circumstances. And we're just saying, we're going to look at this magically. It's not that anybody's at a deficit, but to make what you have more ideal. Because we do change, we do grow, our living circumstances change, the world changes, and we can periodically do an update and check in mentally, emotionally, physically, materially, in with ourselves. How is our material standing? You know, is everything in good order mentally? You know, or do we have some beliefs we need to flush out? Emotionally, are we emotionally taking care, or do we need more emotional attention to ourselves? Physically, which brings us to part of our discussion that we're going to be talking about today, our body. You know, the physical is different than the material. We have a physical body that needs to be addressed or taken care of or checked in with, or maybe an actual regime, if you will. And then the spirit. How is our spirit? How are we doing spiritually? Are we feeling connected to ourselves and to the all that is? So we're always in a divine flow of consciousness. And in that consciousness of flow, there is an evolution. There is a succession of awakening. That's why the show is called Awakenings. We're never fully there. We're like a flower. We keep blooming and blooming and learning more and knowing more and playing more and taking more chances, trying new things. There's a constant evolution. And in that evolution, there is an energy, a design that speaks through us. It's what is emerging through us as us. And so sometimes we need new insight and new inspiration. And that's what I look at when we have these, you know, guests on the show. There are new insight and inspiration bringing us their understanding, their part of the path, their awareness, their training, insight, their life experience, that maybe it acts as a little pattern interrupt for all of us, myself included, that try this or look at it this way. You know, I'm just getting an amen from Teresa in the chat. Yes. I think, and I love, this is the one thing, and, you know, and we'll see what our guest has to, our fellow traveler, on the path has to say about this, but so much love, not only in the chat room, but from people from, you know, iTunes and are listening all over the world, the emails that I get, that they do feel that we're all really coming together in respect and creating more of a conscious environment for ourselves and for others. And then Tammy in the chat says, you always get the best guests on the show. Yes, I do. I'm divinely guided that way. And that's a great, actually, segue to talk about our next guest, which I'm really very intrigued. I've been reading a bit of her book. We have on today Patricia Bish, who wrote the book Freedom from Food, and it's a quantum weight loss approach. And I really love, you know, we're going to really dive into this because I really love a lot of what she has to say about approaching the whole idea of food and actually your own personal, I would say, transformation and freeing up in your life. I mean, that's really what the book speaks about. So without going on further, I really want to bring on Patricia. Hi, Patricia.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, it's
Thank
great.
Thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, you're really welcome. It's great to have you. Especially as I think, you know, and you heard me saying in the intro that, you know, we can look at these times of transition or change or difficulty or challenge or whatever, you know, definition you want to put to it. I find as a way to check back in with ourselves that saying, where do I kind of need to know more or grow more or be more or show up more or, you know, what rearranging my life. And when I was reading your book, I really was, that kept running through. That seemed to be the theme of the book of freeing up and empowering someone.
Yes.
And it seems that you went through, in your evolution, in fact, if we can touch a little bit on your story or how you came to write this book, when I was reading your story, and I want you to share it, I came away with the idea of this is really about empowerment and liberation. I guess that's why you have the freedom. It could be food, but it could be anything. You know, it's to me that which binds you. So how did you come to write this book?
Well, I want to speak right to the beautiful entrance into this talk you gave me. You gave me so many places to answer.
Let's go.
So
let's do them all. Let's enter them all.
Okay. Because awakenings, that's just so perfect. What happened was, and you spoke about being connected to a divine flow.
Yeah.
And what's happening is the culmination of so many disconnections on a planetary level, but I'm going to speak on the level of our physicality being and our emotions. That what happened in my life and what happens with so many eaters, people who are overweight and out of control, is a deep disconnection happens. And it happened in my own life where all of a sudden we are disconnected from the divine flow. We are disconnected from our hearts. There's some betrayal that has happened that has caused us to feel separate, alone, unloved. And from that, an anxiety and begins to emerge that is so uncomfortable that we don't know what to do with it. We feel alone and separate, and we reach for anything. And as in my story, which is so many other people's story, they reach for, you can reach for alcohol, you can go into work, you can go into drugs, you can go into food. And in my case,
overeating, overworking, all the overs, right? I say that.
All the overs on how do we handle this anxiety and pain and feeling of separation that's arising. So we eat and perhaps overeat and hold on to food to have some way to hold on.
So you're saying that over whatever it is the way to, what's it a way to hold on to what though? What is it, that connection, trying to create a connection, or is it trying to hold on to, because things are, that anxiety makes things feel like it's changing, because there's a lot of change.
Yes, there is change. Food becomes the parent we didn't have. Food becomes the love we didn't have. You know, when I can't get the love from someone else and I feel separate, then I can choose foods that I want. So the food can become that parent, that love, that connection, although it is certainly not what we're going to call the divine connection.
It's a
short-term substitute. We're reaching out desperately for something to help us with the anxiety because we are flailing in a way. And the food helps to comfort us before we have the tools to build it in a different way, to find the connection in a different way.
Oh, I like that. So it's really about finding the connection in a different way.
Yes, finding a healthy connection to, I want to say, the inner adult, the inner child, learning to draw boundaries, say no, do all these things that food is saying for us. You know, we're eating because we don't know how to say no when we can't handle situations, to say not now, this is too much. So I'm talking on the emotional level now. Food is our comfort when we don't have a loving adult connected up yet firmly enough. A loving adult, a higher self, you know, a divine connection that can take us through these uncomfortable times so we eat. It's a substitute.
I like that. You know, as you were speaking, and then someone in the chat was talking about manna from heaven, and then also that the food is can be a false comfort. And then with the words that you were saying, I had this flash because years ago, I mean, and I'm going to say 20 plus, but let's even go back hundreds of years ago, didn't really have the problems with the food as much when we had more of a spiritual connection. And you had things like, you know, food. In fact, in dream work and dream therapy, when you see food, it's never really about food in your dreams. It's about, are you getting enough spiritual nourishment, or, you know, and also emotional, but specifically spiritual. So that divine link, or as Dennis was saying in the chat, the manna from heaven, that manna, that life force, or that tingly, you know, the grace, you know, the Holy Ghost, the grace energy that you feel, it fills you up. And if you look around right now in our life, there's so much that I love. It's wonderful. I mean, the music, the computers, you know, the TV, all the stimulus. But all that extra stimulus can take you away from, as you call, Patricia, that true connection or that divine connection. I'm wondering if there's a correlation. Have you seen a correlation from people moving away at one point? I think we're coming back, but moving away from, you know, overtly or intentionally connecting in with that divine connection, that then that food became more of that. Have you noticed that at all?
That there is, yes, that people are feeling so much more disconnected now. They feel disconnected. I think that's why there is an anonymous program on every subject. Because in Overeaters Anonymous, in Alcoholics Anonymous, in Emotions Anonymous, there is every anonymous, almost, because in the anonymous programs, although I didn't lose my weight there, I did build a spiritual connection.
You did.
So
okay.
Absolutely. They go straight to what they call a higher power.
Yes.
And that is the basis of the structure, the thing you hold on to when everything has run away. It's like the runaway train of our minds. They go back to the higher power. And there is a leaving of a natural flow which exists within all of us and in our bodies. That has a pattern interrupt, which you spoke about. It has been interrupted by so many things in our environment, in our politics, in the stresses, in the money. What's happened is we have disconnected from a healing state within our body that would naturally take in the food we eat and eliminate what is not necessary. So, and which is the secret that all thin people know. See, all thin people know that they can eat whatever they want whenever they want it. Don't you know people like that? And you go, my God, how can they do that? How can they eat all that food and they don't seem to gain a pound? And another person just looks at food and they gain weight.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a flow that exists in people who do not have food difficulties, where they take in the food, their body knows just how to eliminate, because at birth we're set up perfectly. Our body is set up to eliminate, and if there is anything toxic or unnecessary, like if we get a cut in our body, it immediately sends antibodies to that cut to heal it. That's
yes.
the way we were set up from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So that flow, that natural flow, that gravitation to take out anything toxic, anything unneeded in our body, to heal it. If we have a wound, it'll form a scab and our body goes into automatically healing it. Well, that is the flow that really exists in us that people have gotten disconnected from, as I did when I had my food problem 30 years ago for many, many years.
Hmm. So, yeah, it goes back, it keeps, really does go into that disconnect from, you know, yourself and from others. And you're saying that it then becomes that, it's also disconnect from the body. I think you touched on that a little bit, that you're not really in touch with your body and what your body needs.
Yes.
Absolutely
not. An addict absolutely cannot. And food addiction is food addiction. Now, people, you know, have all different levels of that, and some people just minorly overeat or they, you know, even gain weight from health food. But I was an addict. In other words, I was a compulsive overeater driven. I could not listen at all to what my body needed. In my book, I talk about learning to eat whatever you want and not gain weight.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a consciousness that we need to hold. But what happens is automatically, once you are out of deprivation and able to hold a consciousness for a certain amount of time, when you can have the chocolate that you never could have before and
yes.
you're not afraid it will make you gain weight, quite simply what happens is you begin to want healthier choices.
Yep.
Why? Because you can have the chocolate if you want it, but you don't need the chocolate then. And you automatically, there is an upgrading, an advancement that happens within every person that says, boy, I'd like to feel a little clearer today.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to be able to think and not feel foggy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you begin to make better choices.
It's interesting because since we are a part of nature and, you know, you look at the birds or, you know, animal beings and such, I mean, they will eat a sweet every now and then, but it's not their first choice if you put something, you know. I see this with my little Yoshi and Cleo, you know, you could have something there that's, you know, more on the whatever, kind of a dessert thing. Or something that's like real, you know, substantial food, more live food, especially the cat, spirulina or chlorella will go for that, or kelp, you know, carrot as opposed to, you know, my little thing that I like is chocolate, so they can't eat that. But there are many times, you know, I think too when you're, again, I think when you're fulfilled, you're filled up in your life, you don't have this over need for this kind of thing, you know. If there's that connection within and with others, and you're getting those emotional, mental needs met, you're not going for the overeating, I guess. You know.
I think that is exactly the case.
Mm-hmm.
That we reach for food to, in a sense, we stuff ourselves, we're stuffing down
yeah.
our emotions, we're stuffing down all kinds of things because we feel so uncomfortable. And so it happens on an emotional level that we become frozen and we become stuck. And you spoke about energy. Mm-hmm. And the energy, which the energy design, the way the energy works through the design, well, when we feel imprisoned in our own thinking or criticized, then all of a sudden we begin to contract. Mm-hmm. And that contraction happens on an emotional level, but it also happens on a physical level. And then the food that we took in, which is still energy, which is why this is a quantum physics approach,
mm-hmm.
because everything, as Einstein taught us, is fluctuating waves of energy that appear to be solid. They're slowed down to appear to be solid, but Einstein said when we look around, everything is really just energy. And that energy is focused and directed by our thinking.
Yes. And, you know, on that, since you brought this quantum approach up, when I was reading your book, you were saying about the thought process, and I want to dive in that a little bit with you. Years ago, I studied hypnotherapy, and I did a little, and it was working out quite a bit at the time, and, you know, but you always had this idea that it'll somehow go away or whatever. So as a little just, you know, test for myself, I decided to not work out, I think it was for about a month, and just, you know, eat whatever. And but I did, I made my own hypnotherapy tape that I listened to on what I want, how I wanted my body to be, you know, and the certain musculature and, you know, the you know, the leanness and whatever.
Yes.
And it worked.
Oh my God, I am so happy that you were speaking about this.
It worked. Well, but I thought if you can get rid of tumors, if you cancer, if you can do all this.
Yes.
Right? So, and when I was reading your book, it reminded me of that way back when, because you were speaking about how your thoughts, you know, do influence.
Yes, I'm so happy that you have brought this up, because it's essential, because it seems like it is out. It's impossible. That's when people think about it, they go, oh my God, that's impossible. But then if I go further and I say, well, do you remember a time in your life when maybe you were in love and for some week, for some odd reason, you all of a sudden ate everything and you didn't gain weight? Or maybe when you were a child, or you're saying in this experiment, I mean, look at this experiment that you did, and you just, what you did, you aligned your thinking, you aligned your thought process, and boom, without exercising, is that what you said? You took off exercise.
Yeah, and I just, and I didn't alter my diet at all.
Yes.
And I actually had my biggest thing wasn't so much weight. I wanted to retain a certain amount of muscle tone or even have more muscle tone.
Yes.
Like in the arm. So I encoded that in there. And I, you know, I told people and even colleagues of mine that I was going to do this, and they're like, you're nuts. Yeah, Teresa, that's having intention. Yeah, it's intention. They're like, you're nuts. And I'm like, how come it can work for everything else but not this, you know? Which I find interesting. There's a lot, you know, with and you're the really that I have found, Patricia, the first book that's really said this, because we have this way of thinking in so many areas or arenas, but when it comes to the weight, I mean, you know, I'll get you know, for medical a cardiologist will send their patients to me or cancer patients, and we're doing all kinds of imagery for tumors, cancer, autoimmune deficiency disease, you know, anxiety disorders, you know, eczema, this and that. But then when it comes to weight, people are like, no, I don't know. You better, you know. So what is that? When it comes to weight loss, it's like we're stuck and there's only one way to do it.
Yes, thank you. It is. And you talked about letting go and having choices. For some reason around food, people will give you the mental ideas of this, but they won't give you how to really access your body, the practices, which is where I think I have made a step further. In other words, this is a new step which tells people how. In other words, it's not enough to know, and like you said, people skim over it very quickly. that your mind can affect your body, but let's talk about food. How many people have been struggling with food, I mean, have tried every diet, have done every exercise program, have done every nutritional idea, cleanses and everything, and still go, I can't, it's not working.
Right. So what do you make of that? Because it's so true. It's like,
I know. Well, the only thing I can think of is it's an unmet territory. Yeah. It is a place that now, as consciousness is expanding beyond the place that it ever has, it's time for people to really realize that inside themselves, they have a mind and emotional state that will translate to their body if they put the practices in. And so I want to say that because, as you know quite well, that you must put the mental focus, and a large part of my training is, you know, what's enough? How much mental focus do you need before you actually get on a scale like I did and then eat whatever you want and get back off the scale and see that, boy, my mind, that focus, like you said, you had an intention and it affected your body. Well, that's what happened to me. In order to get people there, I've created like a step-by-step mental program. It's not a quick, it's not like, okay, in 3 days you're going to lose weight, because in 3 days you're going to gain back that weight.
Because it's like,
so, and probably more. So this is not that kind of a thing. This is, how do I change my consciousness, my relationship with food for the rest of my life? You know, I never gain weight ever. No matter what I eat, no matter where I am, no matter how much I eat, I could eat all health food, I could eat all, you know, any kind of food, because it's not about the food. Food was never my enemy.
So how does one change their consciousness then? It's like, that's the idea. How do you, you know, and you mentioned intention. What would you say to those that are listening, that a good step to change? Obviously reading Freedom from Food, A Quantum Weight Loss Approach. You know, which I think can be translated, though, the way that you have it written and the way that you have the practice sessions can be used for anything. It doesn't necessarily have to be. Obviously, that's the focus of food. But to me, it's more what is blocking you emotionally. there's an emotional stuckness. But what would you suggest to people, the steps to change your consciousness?
Well, there are steps, you know, and I've written out so many of them in the book, but some of the steps are how to begin to change your thinking. So let's say, for example, you begin to think of food as energy. Mm-hmm. And just for a moment, you start visualizing those taboo foods, like let's say whether it's a sandwich, whether it's bread and butter or pizza, whether it's health food, whatever, too many pecans, too many avocados, you know, it doesn't matter. Whatever is bugaboo, mm-hmm. you know, in the forbidden, the mm-hmm. forbidden food. And you start to visualize that as in the quantum way of, rather than dense energy that mm-hmm. is going to go into your body and create weight, right to your hips or wherever you thought it would, but now you're going to imagine that it's energy. It's tiny bubbles of energy with space in between it, because we know this energy is mostly empty space.
Yeah.
And the tiny bubbles of energy come in as you take them in, and your body takes what it needs from this energy, and it releases the rest. And it just, there is a flow where it comes in, it's digested, and it's eliminated. And it happens easily and effortlessly. So now we're thinking of food rather than dense matter, but rather of light energy. And that begins, that right there can begin to direct the food in a different way. Because we know from people like Dr. Emoto that our bodies are 70% water. The change, and so we know that one word like love or gratitude. He did all these studies to show that it changes a water crystal. If you say love, the water crystal changes one way. If you say hate, it changes another way. So our bodies are 70% water. So when I say everything I eat goes through me easily and effortlessly or makes me lighter and lighter, well then my body, those water crystals in my body change formation and follow my intention.
Mm-hmm. I like what you said, because even the language, because just as you were talking, I had that a little example flash that it's the languaging we use too. Like if you think of certain foods, like what's supposed to be good for you, like if I say wheatgrass or, you know, raw food or have that orange, all of a sudden, you know, in your mind you start thinking certain thoughts and you have a certain feeling about those foods.
Yes.
So there's a certain judgment about it, right? And then, but if you say chocolate cake or this or that, and I've seen this, I've done this little test with people, or I'm going to have a glass of wine, and people, you can feel it. All of a sudden we go into dense, heavy mode. Wrong for your body, or, you know. So I think there's something to what you're saying, because even subconsciously, in a way, we're all sending these messages to each other of what something should do to them. If you ingest this, this is what's going to happen. It's like a placebo effect, kind of back and forth, you know, or suggestion, hypnotic suggestion, that this is what's going to occur for you.
Yeah. And we get that result.
Yeah.
And that's why I think all, you know, Olympic sports athletes use positive images to get to their peak performance, because they understand that what they focus on is going to affect their body and how their activity, whatever they're doing. So yes, it's like we really do need to think about how we think about certain foods, what's good, what's bad, how it'll affect our body. Of course, we want to achieve our ultimate clarity and mental focus. And we'll automatically find the foods that create that for ourselves. When we start seeing food as neutral and not bad for us, and we'll still find the foods that all of a sudden make us feel good. Once the big deprivation, see, I think deprivation is what really causes weight.
Yes, I would agree. And what you were saying about the athletes, because I did do quite a bit of work in the mid-90s with elite athletes, and they all, not just the bodybuilders, but all of them, before they were going to do, they did a lot in training, but especially when they were competing, they all went into, which I would say, a meditative state, or, you know, they set an intention and use that, you know, state of hypnosis. Some of them studied a little bit of that. Most of them did not. They just said they naturally knew to do that, that they set an intention and focused on what the outcome was going to do, and also on what the training foods were going to do to them. So there was consciousness in the types of food they were eating. And even if they diverted from their diet, you know, regime, which sometimes they would do on, you know, off days or training days, they sent themselves the message that, and the belief, I mean, they so fully believed it, that even though they're eating this and it's off their plan, that they have enough hours in and enough, the body mechanics and the training level is there, that this won't harm them, this won't throw them off, so that they're able to do that. So it was interesting, they're very mental. There's a lot of mental application to what they're doing physically, you know.
Yeah. Yes, and I want to, so absolutely. So the mind, and they know, as well as the people, like you said, who have healed cancer, and the people who use biofeedback and hook up people to machines and see the correlation between putting thoughts into your mind, and then they test in biofeedback the reaction on your body, and they see that your body changes with the thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And even Bruce Lipton in The Biology of Belief, he's a research scientist in cell biology. He has now proven, which is really exciting for people who have weight difficulties, is that our genes and DNA our cells receive information that is not controlled by the genes in DNA, but is controlled outside the cells, including positive and negative thoughts and emotions. So that means we're not trapped even in our genes. You know how people say, well, it's just in my genes.
Yeah.
I can't do anything about it.
Yes, yes.
So our
it sets up a predisposition, but you are allowed to change that, whether it's by environment or your thoughts. And I think I saw that he even stated that people could know that predisposition is there and have the idea that they're not going to go that route or they don't need to. Or those that didn't know their history. Oh, that was another thing, that those that didn't know their history and later found it out, did a lot of times didn't get certain illnesses.
Yeah.
Because they didn't know they were supposed to.
Yes. It's just amazing. And now our consciousness, because there is so much abundant scientific evidence that our thoughts and emotions affect our bodies. And the quantum physicists are showing us this, that we now just have the opportunity to expand our consciousness and really understand on a profound level that what we think is very important, and those thoughts and emotions, emotions are just energy in motion, that we are putting them into motion with our emotions and our thinking, and that we do have a choice about that. Whereas in food, people feel so out of control, the truth is we have a lot more control than we think.
So you're saying that the knowing that you have that control is really is a big step, it sounds like, to know that you have control over.
Yes, and as a matter of fact, you are sending the energy. In other words, we're the director of that energy flow. And we are sending the direction to that flow all the time, whether we decide to or not, because if we just, say, oh my God, I feel full, I ate too much, I'm going to gain weight, or we say, boy, something, I just trust my body, which is the big word, I trust my body to take what it needs and eliminate the rest, I trust my body, it was set up to heal itself, well, I'm going to set up something in motion. And the person who says the other thing is going to set the energy in motion. So whether we think we are or not, our thoughts are directing that flow all the time.
Mm.
So we can either give ourselves the gift of trying to bring more mindfulness into our daily thinking, or we can just let it run amok, but it still will create.
Yeah.
The choice is ours.
Yeah, it's already set in motion. Maybe we're not cognitively aware, but it's that deeper imprinting or patterning is there. Now, Kathy in the chat has a question, Patricia. Now, she's saying that if she actually watches, if she feels like she's gained weight after watching commercials.
Absolutely, because
what is that about? Okay.
People say, I don't know whether you've heard this, but I've heard it many times where people say, I just look at food and I gain weight.
Yes, I have.
I just look at that chocolate chip cookie.
Yeah, someone else in the chat, two other people in the chat room said the same thing, that they can just look at food and they gain weight. And then Kathy posed that question about the commercials. So what would that – I guess it's true. People are saying it, so I guess it's true,
Sure. Commercials are made. Don't forget, you have a few minutes to impact your audience. They are filled with subconscious, we know, subconscious subliminal messages that we aren't hearing or seeing. And those are going into our mind. They are going into our being, into our thinking. And we are impacted. We don't even have to, I don't have to know the details. I don't have studies, but I do know people spend millions of dollars on these commercials, and that they are going to do something to us.
Yeah.
They do. People go out and buy the next product, and we have it all the time. Don't eat oat bran. They'll say, I remember when oat bran was good, then oat bran was bad, then we were supposed to eat margarine, then we were not supposed to eat margarine. So, you know, all the different things. Chocolate was bad, then chocolate was good because it sends it off, I don't know, it does something with your body. I don't even know why it's good. Wine is bad, and then wine is good.
Yeah.
We are given,
true.
You know, we are given so many conflicting messages, and they are sent a lot of times through advertisements. And we're supposed to be skinny, out of proportion, it doesn't matter. We're supposed to be skinny, anorexic, little models, and you see what's happening in our society with that, these superimposed anorexic kind of bodies.
Yes.
That we are constantly, you just look at the television or the media, and that's what we're supposed to be. That's what we're supposed to be. And people are just unconsciously so disconnected from their own beautiful, perfect proportion, whatever that is, their magnificent self.
So true. I used to model, and by the way, though, that changed it at one point because I think it was the Calvin Klein ad where they had the emaciated kind of the look that was kind of, I can't think of the word right, androgynous look, because it used to be like six, maybe most sample sizes were six, eight, and maybe four. Now it's less. You know, and I would even get in thin, but I think, I grew up along the beach, Southern California, very athletic, good Latin family, so food was prominent. You know, I mean, you want to look nice and be healthy, but I had my spiritual life and friends that were not in the business, so I didn't really take a lot of things to mind. But boy, I'll tell you, Patricia, some of the things that were said to me, or I'd see these, you know, ads or something that I'd be in, and that the agent or the photographer might say, well, she's a little heavier, she's thicker here. And I would look and I'd be like, I know I'm not fitting into your complete ideal, but what are you seeing? Or muscular. One time my arms were too muscular and I used to, you know, run a lot, and then my legs were too muscular. And I would just listen, but then I saw, I mean, it dented me a bit. It did kind of phase more from the money aspect, but I did see, not so much guys, but I did see some girls, some women that didn't have that inner connection. Oh, my God, really, it devastated them. I mean, they would be staring in the mirror, and then everything was about, they're smoking cigarettes and just eating, you know, carrots and, you know, Diet Coke or coffee. And I would look at them and I'd say, you are already thin enough already, just because somebody, so what, you don't get that job, you'll get another one. But I find it's a way of controlling people. It was a way of controlling that you're somehow under somebody's arbitrary, this is the right way or the cool way to look or be. This is what's selling now. And it's so arbitrary. It changes over time. But but so many people, like you're saying, they get mesmerized into it. I think now we have eating disorders, 11-year-olds, 10, 8, 9, 10, 11-year-olds.
Oh, yes.
I never even thought of, I don't know about you, at that age, I did not think about.
No, it wasn't in our generation. We were out doing things, playing.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't even know who, at that age, I didn't even know who was, you know, what designer, I mean, I didn't even.
They are going out on diets in second grade. I mean, they are worried about their weight in second grade.
Yeah. It's controlling for that over-consumerism. By the way, I wanted to tap in back into what you said about the commercials because, and I don't remember what class it was. It was some type of psychology class that I had taken in college where. We did do studies of this. We had magazine ads, and I don't know about television. Maybe they did it then too, but they showed us how, especially liquor ads, they would put, like, in the ice cubes, you'd see a naked woman's, like imprint.
I forgot about that.
Don't remember that now.
What was that?
Exactly. So they showed us how to look at all these various ads, and they would show how there was just, and the way they could get away with it is because it was semi-subliminal. It was like you could really see it if you really looked hard.
Yeah.
Or playing it over and over, or mixing, like, you know, you have the Big Mac ad. You mix the food with something kind of sexual. It does, I don't know, something you know, the neurons of the brain and the hormone, everything gets going, and then it's associated with that, you know, it's by association. So it's so true. You know, you, case in point, I think you people have to learn to unplug from that.
Yes. Yes. I really, what you're saying is so important, because there is, there lies in the big disconnection that there's something defective about us. You know,
yes.
our body isn't
yes.
right. We're not exactly right. If something's not enough, I mean, everyone who has food problems says something's not enough about us. I better cut down on my calories. I better go on a diet. I better change something
yeah.
about me. And there comes the disconnection from our own beautiful self, on the perfect flow that's in us, on the perfect manifestation that was created as our body. And then we are off and running to redo ourselves into something that is made up by someone to,
yeah,
to
exactly.
create money, to make
yeah.
money.
I want to know who's making all this up. That's what I could never figure out. You know, like, who's making this up, and how come we're following what they're saying? We don't even know who's making it. Someone's making it up somewhere, you know.
Yes. And I just want to say, and then there's the calorie counters. Okay, you better lower your calories.
Oh,
you
I
know,
can never
you better
yeah.
start counting calories now. And I want to say, one of the things that happened to me with in my putting together my program was I looked in the dictionary on what calories were, and I was so astounded. But it fit with, you know, this incredible healing I did on myself. And that was that calories were heat units of energy. In the Webster Dictionary, it says calories are heat units of energy. And I thought to myself, well, where does it say they're making you gain weight? Where was that idea made? And actually, calories are heat units of energy. Our bodies know that we're not hibernating. And so they will not store up extra heat. There is no one who needs it. You know, we aren't Eskimos. And so our bodies, and we're not hibernating, even if we were an Eskimo, and our bodies will just take in the heat it needs and release the rest. And there is a whole thing about calories, but among other things, calories, carbohydrates, which are compounds of energy. It's amazing what happens if you begin to look up definitions.
Yes, I agree. I'm big into that. I'm always looking words up to get to the actual derivation, so that I'm not being misled, because I think people a lot of times, you know, not always intention, but mislead by words, or we have a certain connotation of a word, like some people think God, you know, is religious, and I see it as the all that is, or the pranic energy. But I think, yes, you get behind it. That's why I think that... you know, when I was reading your book, I kept coming to the fact that it's really about, it's a program of empowerment to how not get, you know, I'll use a professional, hoodwinked, you know, not to get hoodwinked,
yes.
not to get, and I really feel, you know, especially we're in this quickening phase right now as we're bringing in
mm-hmm.
this new, right, new consciousness, new economy, new way of being and expressing. I, for my own guides and other people that I've worked with, and you know, other guests that we've had on here, the whole idea is that freedom in the old paradigm means freedom from limiting beliefs, or beliefs that are just actually not even true.
That's right.
Right. So we really have to go back to our language and choose what words am I using to describe myself or my experience, and what am I, how, and like you said with the calories, how am I interpreting these words? Because when I hear what the true definition of what you're saying with calories, you know, this heat unit of energy, that right now I feel like a little efficient, you know, machine. I'm in a little flow now. You know, I've got a heat energy unit. You know, I've got these units that now I feel this motion, this fluidity, this flow, instead of that this thing going in me that's like kaplunk, 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 going into the you know, through the digestive tract and this, you know, stomach and out, it's this complete flow of energy.
Yes. Yes. And I love someone told me this, and I don't know where I got this idea from, but they said thoughts are prayers.
Yes.
And I just loved that sentence, that they really are. Thoughts are prayers. So when we think of calories as heat units of energy, boy, doesn't it seem like our body would automatically let those go? Why would we hold on to heat? We don't need it.
Yeah.
As opposed, you know, to thinking of thought of, oh, my God, I ate too many calories. That is going to go right to my stomach, or I am, you know, no matter what, I've eaten too many calories, I'm doomed to gain weight. Rather than I trust my body to eliminate these heat units of energy, which it doesn't need in the first place,
mm-hmm.
you know, it doesn't need too much more heat, and that our metabolism, which I believe is, I was taught also that it is mentally stimulated. In other words, that our thoughts have an effect on our metabolism. And that's why actually with the people I dealt with, within 2 weeks when they were up to doing the healing, that they had trained their mind
mm-hmm.
to hold a consciousness and not let those sabotaging thoughts that want to say, oh, you can't do this, this is a bunch of bull, you know, and all those thoughts that say this will never work for you and this is impossible and blah, 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 and you are doomed to be heavy. No matter what you do, you are doomed to a life of overweight. So once we learn how to hold the focus of the thoughts we want, the prayers, in a sense, we want to put in, then what happens is that changing of the consciousness. When I take people through a two-week healing process in that where they prove it to themselves, it's all written in the book, then they see that holding their focus actually creates it so their body starts reprocessing food where it doesn't make them gain weight. And it seems as though their metabolism changes. I can't figure out what else happens because all of a sudden what used to make them gain weight, now all of a sudden their body is going right through them and they're not gaining weight. So
I think, going back to as you're talking, Patricia, I think it's what you said earlier that as – because I've been trying to figure it out, even when I read your book, and now that we're talking, I'm thinking, why is this? Because it works, it really does work so well. I think it's when you keep telling yourself something over and over, and there's also group agreement. We not only have the agreement of, you know, family, friends on this, but societal, years and years and years, right?
Yes, so, massive level.
I remember growing up, my mom, my family, I was always the writer. Oh, you're the writer, and I won some writing awards, and you're the writer. And then we would talk about art, and my parents would say, yeah, your brother is the artist. Well, I realized that I became a really great writer, but my artistic ability, nothing wrong with five-year-olds, but it's about as a five-year-old. Then when I went through the hypnotherapy training, and you know, probably a little bit after, I thought, you know what, how come I remembered that, and so I shifted that, I reframed that idea, and I had been at a museum, and I'm still, it's not great, but I don't put that much time and effort into it, but I would go to the museums, and I brought a sketch pad, and I got to the point where I was able to sketch some of the sculptures, just enough to prove to myself that I'm a writer, but I can also I'm an artist in my own way. But why I bring this up is I think that, again, as you're saying, it's the languaging when we create our own reality in that sense. You keep saying something over and over, and enough people are agreeing with it. I think a part of your mind goes, well, it must be true. Must be so. You know.
Then we begin a new pattern, like we started out talking with a pattern. We begin a new pattern, a new frequency going on that stays on instead of the other frequency. We start resonating to a new frequency,
uh-huh.
a new flow in ourselves. It's our job to keep going.
Right, exactly. So you're saying that once you shift this, that thought, and you start believing it, like you say in your program, you have people, there's a portion, and you talk about it in the book, where you get people believing it, and you actually have them not do other things so that they really believe what they're doing.
They prove it to themselves.
They prove
yeah.
it to them. Yeah, they prove it to themselves. Yeah, not even belief or faith. Prove. I like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you're saying that out of that proving to oneself, now that that new pattern has come in and that new frequency of being, that needs to be obviously maintained and reinforced, but that creates that shift.
Exactly. When you hold it long enough, there was a movie called A Beautiful Mind, and it was just so, it's probably one of my favorite movies. And they showed Russell Crowe at the end. He had all these voices that were making him insane. They really made him, he had a mental problem, a severe mental problem, because these voices in his head were absolutely creating insanity in him. He had a place of insanity. And when he finally got a grip on what was happening with him, at the end of the movie, they show him walking up these steps, and on either side of him are these negative voices trying to pull him back into the old way of thinking. But he stays aligned in his present knowing, in his new way of thinking, and he walks up the steps, and as those voices try to pull him back in to the old way of thinking, he hears them, but he does not go there, and he stays focused and aligned on his new way of thinking, and he changes his outcome.
So it's really staying aligned in that new way of thinking.
That's what you really see. Yes. In other words, it is not about just reading the book and having intellectual knowledge. It really won't affect the body. It makes you think you're smarter.
Right, exactly.
But
yeah.
it doesn't translate to the body. In order to affect the subatomic particles of your body, you have to hold that consciousness to a certain point. It's like, you know, when you make water boil. Mm-hmm. You have to hold it and cook it enough until it's boiling, until it's aligned enough, and then your body begins to rearrange.
Mm-hmm.
And
well,
so that
it's just like transfer. It's just like transfer. It's interesting applying it. I don't know. You're brilliant for thinking to bring it to this arena. Really, it really
Thank
is
you.
Quantum. Yeah, because I tell people that too. You know. It's not enough to raise your vibrational frequency. You have to do something to hold it in that space for a period of
Thank
time,
you.
Right? Until it's encoded.
Yes.
Until
it's encoded. That's
yeah.
a great word.
Yeah. And then you still, because, you know, at least until a certain period of time, you need to have those reinforcements or that support around, or that consciousness, or those beliefs or words or ideas floating around that helps you sustain that for enough period of time till it becomes your ultimate reality. Because a lot of people do something and then they have a little blip, they've, you know, expanded out, they feel good, they're aligned, and then they don't do it to a certain level or a certain point. So that's,
mm-hmm.
I like that you talk about it. It's really to get to those subatomic particles and what we call encode the cell, again, with this new memory, hold it there, reinforce it for a period of time, and then that changes your whole energy and your whole whole life. Now, we have another question in the chat from Kat that she was talking about eating a lot of, I guess she said five meals per day, little meals today for the day. And she was talking about if you overeat, this idea of the storing the food, and I guess storing the calories. I may not be saying it right because
I eat all the time.
Okay.
I would call myself a grazer, but it doesn't really matter if you're a meal eater or you're a grazer. It doesn't matter any of that. It matters what you think about that. It matters what it activates in your mind. So for me, I know I could eat all day. You could feed me. I could stay in bed and you could feed me morning, noon, and night. It wouldn't matter what you fed me. It wouldn't matter how much, what kind, from health food to not health food, because my body is in the alignment now has the encoding.
Yeah.
I'm back to that flow where the food just comes in and goes out. My body will just take it and take what it needs and release the rest. So it doesn't, my answer to that question is it's really how you believe it to be.
Mm. Wow. I was just
saying, we get to make it up.
Yeah, we get to make. I was just wrote in the chat room that you're really ingrained into this. It's encoded in you. So I can even feel it in your beingness. So it's so in you and you that it's going to be that way.
Yes, it's where the dancer becomes the dance.
Yeah.
The yogi becomes the you know, the yogini. You know, it's the potter, you know, the person who's sculpting, then all of a sudden is the potter. And it's like at a certain point, you become the black belt. You master it.
Okay.
And this is a mastery program.
Yes, yes. And what I'm saying is to be able to take it to different things, because sometimes we don't see the application. Like I may do this on the spiritual or talking to guides. Somebody can tell me all they want about this and that doesn't exist or it's impossible. But since I've lived it, I know it. I hear that in you, that you've lived this, you know it, so it is that. And that's actually what you're teaching or sharing with people is these are the steps how to get this awareness or this consciousness for yourself. I've got another question from Conscious in the chat. Let's see, do you think the mind exists outside the body or inside? And is it different than the brain? Well, there is a difference. The brain is an organ. But what do you think of that, of the mind?
Yes, I don't believe the mind is in the body.
Okay.
That's my own personal belief.
Yeah.
You know, because I just don't believe consciousness is in the body. I mean, everything is consciousness. But no, to answer that question, I believe we have a brain, just like you said, that is in the body. It's an organ. But the consciousness, the mind, is outside of that. It directs it.
Yes. And then Kat is asking, so if we change our perception, we can change our cells programming?
Our cells programming?
Yeah.
Did
okay.
You say?
Yeah. So if you're saying that if we change our perception in our life,
yeah,
then we can actually change or reprogram our cells or on a cellular level.
Yes. And, you know, that's what scientists are showing also. I'm so happy to have them showing this now, because 30 years ago I was standing out there pretty alone.
Yeah.
But, yes, and I also want to say that I don't want to in any way sound that like this isn't something that people need to give themselves the gift of on a daily level. They need to take these practices in, like you said, and encode them. And sit down and build that consciousness. So it's not a quick perception, although anything's possible in our world. But what I'm teaching is something that you develop inside of you. It doesn't take a horribly long time, but it takes a commitment.
Yes.
So, and then, yes, will it affect the cells in your body? Absolutely. We know that it has been affecting the cells of people with cancer, all kind. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Oh, somehow, I'm sorry. It sounded like we clicked off.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
Anyway, it's, you know, so there are all kinds of things that we know, and scientists have shown us, that it's healing all kinds of disease. And food and the cells of our body and how they process food is just another disease,
mm-hmm.
something that's not in alignment. That can be helped.
Absolutely. Yeah, in that encoding or changing on a cellular level, we have seen that in, you know, and I put in the chat whether it's alpha theta healing, you know, hypnotherapy, NLP, you know, the possibility is there, but the person has to really want to do it also. That's the other thing. I've worked with people that later on a cellular level, they've had blood work or it's some type of checking for certain diseases where they take a piece of the cells in the mouth where the disease no longer showed up. So,
exciting.
Yeah. So this is what excites me about what you're doing is that you're putting it for some reason in this realm that people haven't, I don't know why with the food, but haven't necessarily done before, you know, and it may be because food is something tangible. It's something like, you know, even cancer. You say you have that, or you know, an autoimmune deficiency disease. You see the symptoms, but you don't see something that you can hold. And I think with food, you know, it's like almost like right now I'm holding the book, Freedom from Food. Someone can tell you, well, that book weighs this much, so it's going to cause this to you. You know, if you ingest mm-hmm. this right piece of something, or you know, you should only ingest 4 ounces of this, because if you ingest more than 4 ounces, it's going to do this. So I think it's this, right? I think that's part of where people have been caught up. And what I'm hearing you say is that in that quantum approach, you're no longer, you know, looking at it through this Newtonian, you know, periscope, if you will. You're looking at it through a quantum approach, that it's all energy anyway.
Yes.
Right? And I think that's the thing, that for some reason people haven't been doing that in this area, you know.
They joke around with it. Mm-hmm. They, you know, people go, oh, God, I just ate some ice cream, it's going right to my hips. What did I do? And they don't realize, for some reason, when it comes to food, they don't get the effect of it. That, wait a minute, your thoughts are creating right now.
Yeah.
You know, not don't take them so lightly. We are sculpting with our thoughts all the time.
Wow.
And, you know, pay attention with them. Pay attention what you're sculpting.
Yeah.
Because our body is that sculpture.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's taking the Einstein-y approach, if you will, as I like to call it,
Einstein,
and applying it to this, bringing that quantum really to everything that we're doing. Why not do it to food? Even though the food seems to be solid, that's what I'm hearing you say. It's, remember, folks, it's really not. It's even though we seem to be solid, we're really not. We're this free-flowing energy. I got to remember that with the calories. What did you heat?
Heat units of energy.
Heat units of energy.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it's more like, if you think of it like bubbles. You know, when there's a bunch of bubbles and you just do the slightest breath
mm-hmm.
into those bubbles, and they all disperse in all different directions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's so easy to move bubbles with one little breath. Well, if we think of food and everything is energy, and we think of it that way, and how easily one word can just move those bubbles of energy in whatever direction, you know, we wanted to, then we begin to see, oh, okay, we're affecting this, and it's way easier than we thought.
Yeah.
And boy, we better look at where we're directing our thoughts to go.
Mm-hmm.
And begin to build, give ourselves the gift of choosing our words. We do have choice.
Mm-hmm.
We can let go of these old beliefs. As a matter of fact, there's a man named Dr. Bruce Carlson. He's a leading cell biologist. And he talks about at the base of every leaf, you know, in nature is so profound, there is a spore of a new bud waiting to grow in its place.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as the old leaf stays attached, like our old ways of thinking about food, the ones we keep doing over and over again, it says the new growth is stalled because the old leaf secretes chemicals that inhibit the new growth.
Secretes the chemicals that create the new
growth. That inhibit the new growth. So we are inhibiting it by keep holding on to these old things. Like Einstein said, insanity is doing the same thing over again and expecting a different result.
Mm-hmm.
How many diets do you have to go on before you realize they don't work?
Yeah, exactly.
And that's it. Once the old leaf lets go and dies, the growth inhibitors are removed. And the next leaf, a new leaf, is possible.
Hmm.
So the parallel's inwardly true. We have to let go of these dead things, these old beliefs that we carry around, these old thoughts about ourselves, thoughts about food, thoughts about our out of control, about the impossibility of losing weight, and open up to a new way of thinking.
Yeah.
To at least create it as a through line of a new possibility, and allow these new things to mature in us. We're having a whole new thing. That's how we actually started the program. With all the changes going on, there's a chance for consciousness, a new consciousness to come in all aspects of our lives. So let's bring it into our physicality and bodies this year.
Absolutely. Got you. We've got to. That's the next piece. We're on the physical right now. Now, we have another question, Patricia, in the chat from Holistic that is asking, that she's curious about the quantum approach and how is it quantum, and also what does quantum mean?
What quantum is the science of looking at everything as fluctuating waves of energy. So it is not static. It is moving and fluctuating. And what I'd like to say is therefore movable. And they have seen in all of these scientific studies that our mind and the thoughts we think and the emotions we hold affects this fluctuating wave. It makes them move in different ways. So the participant or the observer is not like something that is just standing on the sidelines and has no effect on what's happening with this fluctuating waves of energy, that it actually affects it all the time, and that we are affecting things with our thought. And Deepak Chopra talks about you're not even in the same body now as you were when we began this whole interview.
No,
and you have a completely new body that's now here.
Yeah, the cellular regeneration. Plus, every time we have an insight or a new thought that we resonate with and we take it on, we've also shifted. And that shift causes, you know, a molecular change. The cell now has a new memory added to it, the little computer that the cell is. Wow, that's now I want to touch on just briefly to let people know, especially that are in the area, that you are February 19th will be at the Bodhi Tree, and that's in West LA or Los Angeles.
And you can get the exact address on my website,
thefreedomfromfood.net, for those of you that are listening via phone. And I do see somebody on the line, so I'm going to check in with you, see if you have a question or if you're just calling in to listen. And then Patricia will also be at the Learning Exchange February 7th. And, of course, you can...
In Anaheim.
In Anaheim, okay. And, of course, you can also get all this information at freedomfromfood.net. And you said, Michael, I call him Reverend Michael because I teach at Agape University of Transformation Leadership, Agape Meditation for Spiritual Unfoldment and Understanding the Universal Laws and Activating that Law of Magnetic Attraction. I teach there, so I do know Michael and Ricky. But they also had read your book and really found it of great value and benefit. So that's also always good to know. He's always in that, you know, forefront.
Oh, he is in the forefront, excuse me, and yes, when it comes to flow, I remember him talking about the flow, the zone that's always there for us to step into.
Yeah.
And yes, he's been an inspiration, and I put him in the acknowledgments of my book because I think so much of him.
Mm-hmm.
He's inspired me for many years.
Yeah, me too. I had my Meditation for Everyday Living, I guess, came out in 2003, and then I started teaching there. So I did had a second expanded edition and put an acknowledgement to him, as well as Reverend Cheryl and quite other people. And people said, well, why, and by the way, the expanded edition I'm really happy with and proud of, but they said, well, why did you do, you know, another one? Or I think the other one came out in 2005, sorry, so soon. And I said, how could I not? From teaching and learning, you know, you're around, you go, oh, my God. Now, you know, now you, too, talking to you, I'm like, oh, my God, this is a whole nother way. And it's interesting for me, Patricia, because I live in this world all the time. I teach it. I've been in the, you know, my whole life, actually, had this spiritual awareness and that we are just energy and this connection to God is energy and all that is. But as I'm talking to you, I thought, you know what? There's certain areas that I have not lived that or applied or seen that, too. And I think this has been one of them, and I think it's because it's been something that has seemed like a solid mass and all that programming that it, this many calories mean this and this will happen, or like you said, a carbohydrate or something with sugar. Part of it being that I studied, you know, nutrition way back when, and herbology, and it came from a holistic health background, which everyone listening, you need to update. You need to update your thoughts. Because, you know, in a sense, I think sometimes too much training in a certain something blocks you or stops you from that new approach, or definitely the quantum approach. Because the quantum approach is actually saying, in a way, that you have less belief.
Yes, well, you take off the good and bad. And that doesn't mean you don't, you know, I have a section in my book called Advanced Eating. And once you take off all of those good and bad, like I said, you will naturally start going to things that make you feel healthier. If that happens to be nutrition, great. You know, nutritionally sound, great. If it's chocolate, great.
Right.
Whatever it is that makes you feel healthier and makes you more clear-headed, clear-minded, you will naturally, there is a natural movement in us, in our body, in every part of us that moves towards health. And we will do that once this deprivation and all this, you know, good, bad, and fear and everything is taken off of food, we will move in the right direction towards health.
Part of what I hear you saying is that trusting that innate intelligence.
Yes.
Right? Because I'm thinking, you know, at one point for years, I was vegan and then vegetarian, and I overate soy, and then that ended up not being great for the body, which I was told don't eat any more soy products, but I still eat some because I didn't want to buy into that. I thought, you know, there's just a way to balance. And I tuned within. And then being vegan and then vegetarian for a while, about 3 weeks ago, I don't know why, I had this thing. I wanted a grilled hamburger patty. So I went to Whole Foods, and I got to give a shout out to Lourdes at Whole Foods. It's great on the grill. And you can also get, in the bigger Whole Foods, you can get grilled fish. You pick out whatever you want. And people are like, oh, my God. And they told people, my friends, Michelle, oh, my God, you've been vegan and vegetarian for so many, you know, 20 years. I don't know. You could have it, but, you know, this and that with the stomach. And, you know, I heard, oh, I don't know. I mean, I heard all kinds. And I just tuned in. I thought, I'm moving beyond belief. I'm going into that connection to the innate intelligence that I am being drawn towards something for some reason. Went and got my hamburger patty. Had a wonderful huge bean salad, and I loved it.
Yes, you hear that? And you loved it. And I will bet that your body had no, you loved it, you know, which takes us back to the mana of food meant to enjoy. And you loved it, and your body didn't do anything bad about it. It doesn't sound like.
No, nothing at all.
You just enjoyed it.
I just enjoyed it. Had a couple other times since, and you know, people are saying, well, what about being the vegan? But I said, you know what? I don't know what I am. What I am trusting is that flow, because I have no idea anymore. And that's what I mean about, you know, I don't know the terminology to use, but I just sense that we are all, you know, moving, if we choose to, like you said, Patricia, if we allow, like you said about that leaf, if we allow the old to hold us back, you know, through that, you know, chemical stoppage or blockage from that, you know, process of that new leaf wanting to come through, if we get too stuck in a mindset that may not suit who we are now, or what we're about now, or what we're, you know, the body, the changes that have happened mentally, emotionally, or, you know, because I think sometimes as human beings, we like to, we learn something or we do something, and we say, okay, this is it forever. This is the job. I'm only going to do this, and I only like this. And there's no trying something new or tuning within to that innate intelligence to say, to just feel what's right for me? Where do I want to go? And that's why I find that this, to me, the book is speaking to that. It's really about trusting that part. I think you said it earlier, didn't you? Said that I trust myself. I think you mentioned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's such a big difference between me and people who eat and don't gain weight or stay in their perfect proportion, you know, whether that be thin or whatever that looks like, but it's their perfect weight and they eat whatever they want. And the difference is I trust my body. No matter what appears to be happening, even if it looks like I've gained a few pounds. I look down and I go, body, take care of it. You always do. Just however, you know, just take care of it. You know, during our menstrual cycle, we, you know, it looks like we're bloated, but then the body just takes care of it.
Yeah.
You know, our body temperature, it's kept at a certain degree of heat all the time. If it's too hot, our body takes us down some notches. We always stay at a certain temperature. Our body knows how to regulate itself.
Yeah, that's it. I think, you know, trust that innate intelligence. So I'm going to check in on this person. They may be just listening. Hi, 919-781. Did you have a question? Hello? No, they're just listening. Okay, because some people... 919-781, you're on the air. Okay, they're probably just listening. Some people call in, which I love that, because you could be on your cell phone, driving in the car, driving up the coast, listening to Awakenings with Patricia Bish right now.
Yes. How fun.
Yeah, so great. Oh, I love this. Oh, one thing I wanted to touch on, how do emotions affect weight? You kind of touched on it a little bit and tie into the, if there are sabotaging thoughts, but that energy and motion, how are those emotions affecting that idea of weight?
Well, once again, so many people use food as protection.
Okay.
So if we are feeling unprotected, we feel like we need to, or fearful, we feel like we need to protect ourselves. And some people will hold on to weight, and it's big with people who have been abused, who can't say no, who haven't been able to say no, or they've been betrayed or abused in some way, and they're afraid. The moment we're afraid, our body is contracting. And a lot of people hold on to weight and put on weight because they are a fear. It helps to protect them against unwanted advances from the opposite sex or the same sex. You know, it is a shield. It protects in many ways. So I would say that's how emotions play. Instead of ourselves being able to say no and being strong enough, have a strong enough connection to spirit, to rely on spirit, whatever, or your higher self, to handle a situation that you're afraid of. You know, so people use food and weight as protection.
So it's the protection then is what the reason being that somebody is doing that.
Yeah, it protects.
It protects.
It creates a shield that keeps predators out, keeps unwanted criticism out, negative judgments out. And it also is it's like I said in my book, it's like it was my morphine, and it kept my fragmented parts together because I was feeling too vulnerable and I was too raw, too vulnerable, and unkind thoughts or criticisms or self-criticisms were hurting me too much. So food protected me. People thought I was fine even when I wasn't. Because I had sedated myself with food.
So it's the sedation then. I think that's I think, again, it goes back to those trusting the body and tapping in innately, what do I really need? If you're doing that, that's when you're keeping that flow going. Now, someone is asking about hormones, which is a good point. Like you have a thyroid or pituitary is off or
yes,
you know, from pregnancy or something.
Yes.
How would one be able to use this approach with that kind of situation also?
Yes. Let me say, I am not a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly, if you have a thyroid problem, I would not bypass that. Please always follow your medical or professional advice that's given to you. Do not bypass that. I would never want someone to do that. And that's first, go take care of anything that feels off. Then when everything is attuned, in other words, you know this is, you know, your thyroid is taken care of.
Right.
I actually have a thyroid deficiency. So, you know, I take thyroid. I healed myself way before that,
mm-hmm.
you know, probably 20 years before that. So it's not connected to that, but it can be for some people. So you take care of your thyroid and go get help from a doctor to, you know, or whoever you go to, a medical professional,
mm-hmm.
or professional, and take care of that. And then you know, okay, it's not my thyroid that's creating this weight problem anymore because I've taken care of it.
Mm.
So then all the messages of, okay, you know, there's so many. I mean, just a few of them. If I don't exercise, I'll gain weight. If my mother is heavy, I will be. After birth, you gain weight. If you nurse or don't nurse, you gain weight. There's all kinds of messages. Because of my genes, I'll gain weight. Because of menopause, I'll gain weight. My hormones are out. At a certain age, I'll gain weight. You know, it just goes on and on. And what I can tell you is I am through menopause, and I am in my perfect proportion and thin, and you can feed me whatever you want. And I also have thyroid that is, you know, taken care of, and it's all there are messages.
Yes. Well,
yes,
I think,
if it's not a medical difficulty.
Yeah. I think if it goes in that there can be that predisposition. You do have something, you know, biologically or from the genetic track, but how what you do with it or how you shift it or transmute, let's say transmute the energy. I'm not even going to say change it, but transmute that energy,
mm-hmm.
I think is up to you as what you know now. You don't have to fall into that, you know, trap per se. You know, it's like a vessel coming in, a vessel, you know, or a glass of a certain color. You're going to see that hue of that glass, but you fill it with water, doesn't, you know, it's creating a different, right, a different hue than maybe a pink glass as a green glass. There's some
yeah.
shade. But what I'm hearing you say is that you're not powerless over this,
mm-hmm.
you know.
No, go get it fixed. You are not powerless over it. And it doesn't affect you, you know, it doesn't affect you with the hormones. I know so many people who their hormones are AWOL, you know, but they are standing in their perfect proportion.
Yes. Yeah. It really, yeah, that's the thing. I still can't get over that you're applying this to food. I love it. And a part of me goes, but of course, why not? Why wouldn't you? You know, it's a wonderful way, I think, of getting back your life and tapping into that innate intelligence, you know.
Yes.
Well, we are winding down. 2 minutes. I can't believe it, Patricia.
Okay, good. Well, I appreciate all the questions and the questions and your own experience, your profound experiences in all different areas that are connected with this, because I think that will be so important to the listeners to know, I see that you have done things with your intentions that would seem impossible, and yet you have changed your body with it.
Yeah, and that's why I kept reading, and I kept thinking to myself, how come it makes sense to apply it in this way, you know? So some wonderful learning and insight you've brought to us, Patricia, and I'm so appreciate it.
Thank you.
So those of you that are listening, we've been speaking with Patricia Bish. She is the author of Freedom from Food, A Quantum Weight Loss Approach. And you can also connect to her, find out more about the work that she's doing at freedomfromfood.net. And as always, I really want to thank everyone in the chat room, all of you that called in to listen. And all those of you that are listening via Cosmic Dimensions, hello, and thanks for your support, your emails, your sharing, and all of you that are listening via the other podcast stations as well as via iTunes. Even though we don't see you in the chat, we feel your energy, we know you're there, and we know you are part of the converging flow that is connecting into the truth of who we are, that divine, radiant, spiritual being that is here to express and create abundantly. So I thank you all for joining us on Awakenings. And we will be back next Wednesday, of course, and we'd love to see you back here. So until next time, keep awake.